Good morning. This morning we're going to complete our study in a series on the home. We need godly homes. I know that's probably overstated, but if anybody should be representing godliness and godly homes, it should be every one of us in Christ Jesus. You know, we need husbands learning how to treat their wives in the right way. We need wives treating their husbands in the right way. We need to know how to resolve conflicts when they arise. There's a proper way to resolve them and an improper way, a spiritual way and a fleshly way. We need to know how to do that. We need fathers instructing their children. This morning we're going to talk about disciplining our children and what that means and what is expected on disciplining our children. Would you open your Bible to Ephesians 6 as we begin? Ephesians chapter 6, and then we'll be over in Hebrews 12. We need to listen carefully to what the Lord expects. For those of you with young children, we have many of you here with young children. Many are expecting children, planning in the future. Listen, there are no do-overs. There are no ways to turn around later in life and say, oh, that was my mistake. There are no do-overs with your children. You need to do what's expected by the Lord now, that you can set them on the best path that you could possibly direct them in. Now, you can't do anything about once they reach adulthood, but you set it when they're young, and you teach and you instruct on what to do. The danger that comes about is that we've allowed the world to tell us how to raise our children. We're reading books by different authors and the professionals, and we kind of set God aside. And you look at the mess that we have in our society. Another danger that we're presented with is that a lot of people have been trained in their jobs, and they take the training that they have and they try to let that be the standard for raising their children, and that's not the standard. You can't allow what you've been trained or taught to be the standard for the world to use in the home. You have to be careful. He's trying to make us into the image of His Son. God's trying to grow us into His things, and we can't let the world tell us what that means and have the mindset of, well, this is my profession, and that's how I have to approach. Wait, we're trying to be people in Christ Jesus approaching life from God's mindset, not ours. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, the words are pinned down for us. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Fathers, God places directly on the shoulders of the fathers. We went through this last week. Fathers are to discipline their children in the Lord. God expects fathers to discipline. It falls on their responsibility. It doesn't mean mothers can't discipline. He's not saying that. But He is putting the responsibility of discipline directly on the shoulders of fathers. You fathers need to step up and make sure you're disciplining your children in the Lord. It is expected by you. It's expected by God. Fathers, do it. God is a God of discipline. God is for discipline. And God's going to show us how to discipline if we would listen to His Word. Come over to Hebrews chapter 12 that was read moments ago. Hebrews chapter 12. When we talk about discipline, the word literally means a calling to soundness of mind and self-control. That's what discipline, that's what it's for. It's to call you to have some sound thinking. It's called to, you know, to give some self-control in your life. That's what discipline's for. Instead of just going and after what you feel and what you think, it gives you some soundness to say, here's where you need to walk, and stop letting your feelings and all these other things lead and get some control in your life. That's what discipline is for. God disciplines us as adults, as His children, and God expects us to discipline our children. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 5, we read, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives." Do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. He's making a quote out of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. He's quoting the Proverbs, wisdom. We're going to look at the Proverbs in just a few minutes. But here he says, you know what? Don't you regard lightly the discipline of the Lord? Don't you faint when you're reproved by Him? God can bring discipline in the life of His people. God can bring pain to call you and I to soundness of mind and some self-control if need be. And when pain comes in your life, don't walk around hanging your head wondering what's going on. No, don't you faint. Don't you lose heart? Don't you regard what's happening in your life as lightly? Sometimes things happen in your life to get your attention. Now, we sometimes don't think like that. That doesn't mean that everything that goes on is a discipline from God. But I'll tell you this, when you start having things go on in your life and they consistently go on, I would be taking a sharp look back toward me and the Lord. What's this relationship for? What's He doing to me? He's trying to teach me something. And don't you regard it lightly. Don't you faint. Don't you start feeling sorry for yourself and I can't take any more of this and oh, this is just getting to be. The Lord is sending a message. Because He says in verse 6, "For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives." Oh, He scourges every son. Every child of God will be disciplined. And God will bring it about as a father. We live in a day and time where the discipline is not there. We live in a society that teaches away from the discipline of God. You look at our criminals in our society. There is no fear of punishment anymore. No, criminals, you can go shoot somebody and you can probably get off. Because people have shifted away from discipline. And then you look in the home sometimes that parents play mind games with their kids rather than discipline them in the Lord. You know, your kid's out of control. All right, I'm going to start counting. What kind of mind game is that? They need to listen to your voice. God doesn't play mind games. He said He will discipline those whom He loves, and He reproves every son whom He receives because He cares. Trying to call to soundness of mind. Look at verse 7. He said, "It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline?" God expects fathers to discipline, and God disciplines because He deals with us as His children. And He'll continue to deal with us. And you need to be thankful that He does that. You know, you and I need to thank the Lord that when we get off track, that He brings something back to our attention to get us back on track. Look at verse 8. "But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons." What if you are without discipline? You're not a child of God. Let me give a quick illustration. If you are not doing what you know the Lord wants you to do, or if you have a bad attitude right now, and you're not feeling any pain from it, there is nothing going on in your life creating a problem, you need to pull out your birth certificate and find out who's on that birth certificate, because you're not a child of God. God disciplines those whom He loves. And if you don't have discipline when you're off in sin and you know you're not doing the will of God, or if you have the wrong attitude and you're not having any pain in your life, I guarantee you I'd be checking my birth certificate quick, because I may not even be a child of God anymore. God disciplines those whom He loves. God is a God of discipline. He tries to keep people in sound mind and some self-control, and He'll bring pain about if it takes that. And we're not to take that lightly. See, that's the way God operates. We don't think like this a lot of times. We just kind of just ignore things that are going on in our lives. We just chalk it up to the mess of society, or, you know, well, it's just one of those tough times. God disciplines when people are off base, His children. Or if He doesn't, you're not a child. One of the two. Keep going. Verse 9. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. What did earthly fathers do? Why did our fathers, when you think back in your life, and those of you who are older, it's amazing to talk to those who are older when they grew up, and they'll talk about, boy, I can remember my dad taking me to the woodshed. Our younger people don't have a clue what that means. But those of us older, we have a little bit of idea what that means, be taken to the woodshed. But you know what it was for? Earthly fathers disciplined us, and we respected them. I respect my dad for the times he come down on me. Discipline teaches respect. Look at the middle of verse 9. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? What if God disciplines us? You know what God's trying to do? Get you in life, keep you in life, to live spiritually. If we would submit when we're being disciplined by God, He's only going to try to help us. Discipline teaches respect. That's what is missing today, because parents aren't disciplining. I am amazed at the disrespect of our children many times. Sometimes in the church, I have heard people say over the years, there's certain people they don't want to have in their family because their kids run wild. You know, they don't want to have them over because their kids are out of control. There's no respect. If a mother and father has no respect in their life for the things of God, they're not going to pass that respect on to their children. Years back, we had a couple over at the house, and they had three small children. We were sitting there, and all of a sudden, the young boy, little boy, he jumps up on our table in the middle of our living room. He's jumping around on it. Sometimes little boys do that. I've got tolerance for it. When I look over, his mom and dad are sitting across from us, and they're not even paying attention. They're just letting the boy go to it. He starts jumping on it. I look to mom and dad. I'm thinking, come on. Mom and dad don't do a thing. You know what it falls on me to do? I reach up, that little boy's laughing. I grab him by the shirt collar, and I yank him off over there, and I cuddle him up in my arms, kind of tickle his neck for just a second. When I got his full attention, I said real softly, you jump on my table one more time, I'm going to bust you. That young man's eyes got this big around, and he glared at me for a second, never had a problem with him the rest of the night, never had a problem with him the rest of our relationships. That boy loved me from that day. Do you know why? Discipline teaches respect. And that's what we need to teach our children. Respect. We had earthly fathers that disciplined us, and we respected them. Should we not submit to the Father of our spirit and live? Respect. Parents, fathers, have some respect for God so you can teach your children to have respect for God. That will lead to the respect of other people. Respect. Look at verse 10. For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But He disciplines us for our good, so that we might share His holiness. Our earthly fathers did discipline us as they saw best for us. God does not discipline for what is best in the earthly sense. God disciplines us for our good. See, sometimes earthly fathers can have a misidea of what best is. But you know what? God does it for our good. He said that we may share His holiness. That's the goal of discipline, sharing in the things of God. So whenever we have fathers talking about disciplining our children, when we have mothers disciplining their children, we're talking about sharing in God's world. That's why you do it. That's what you need to do it for. Let them share. That's why God disciplines us. Verse 11. He said, all discipline, for the moment, seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. Yet those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. All discipline is not happy times. When you try to discipline a child and they're laughing, something is wrong. It's not discipline. All discipline, he said, for the moment, is not joyful. It is sorrowful. It's supposed to be sorrowful because you're trying to teach respect. You're trying to teach them to walk in the ways of God. God's trying to teach us to walk in His ways instead of over here meandering around, and then we wonder why we have so many problems, because God's saying, listen, I want you to understand you've got sorrow in your life for a reason. And I want to bring you back. It's sorrowful. But you know what he says there at the end of verse 11? Those who have been trained by it, discipline trains. He said it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Righteousness is the product. You know, if we want our children in heaven, they're going to have to practice righteousness. Discipline brings that about so they can have righteousness born within their beings. Now, what happens if one of us is stubborn? What if God's just beating the tar out of somebody, and they're staying in their bad attitude, or they know they're not doing the will of God, and they continue to have problems, and they can't understand why nothing works out? And what if they're going to be stubborn and just stay there? Verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. You know what? It's not a time to be stubborn when things aren't going well in your life. That's a time you better be opening up. You better be listening to everything God says. You better take to heart what He's doing. Because He says, the limb that is lame, you're hurting. And He said, it can be taken out of joint. You ever had a limb out of joint? I've had many, and it hurts. And God says, you're going to be stubborn? You think you're hurting now because this or that? I can make it hurt a lot worse. And we can yank the thing out of joint if that's what you want. See, God's trying to help. God's trying to discipline us, to teach us respect, to share in His holiness. He's trying to keep us in sound mind. He's trying to keep us under self-control so that we can practice and live the righteous life He intended. Now, that's God's world. God's way is to discipline His children. What about us with our children? Well, the rest of the time, I'm going to look in Proverbs. And I want you to come back to Proverbs chapter 1. And I want to take you through some verses about disciplining our children. Proverbs chapter 1. Some people say the book of Proverbs doesn't apply today because it's Old Testament. I've heard many at the time in the past have made that statement. You know what? Proverbs is a book of wisdom from God. The Hebrew writer quoted it for his purpose. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 that all Scripture is inspired of God, and it is profitable for correction, for teaching, and for training in righteousness. All Scripture, it'll train you in righteousness. It'll correct you if you'll use it rightly. In Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, we read, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Having some respect for God and who God is, that's the beginning. Parents cannot teach their children nor train their children in what they don't have. If a parent has no fear of the Lord, they're not going to instill that within their children. Fear of the Lord's the beginning point. Parents, we need to have some fear of the Lord in our hearts so we can train our children to have some fear of the Lord in their hearts. Otherwise, he says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, you ever try to train somebody and teach somebody that doesn't want to be taught? You're teaching a fool. You want to raise a house of fools? You have parents that do not have fear of the Lord. You're going to have children don't fear the Lord. You're going to have a house of fools because the whole house will despise wisdom and instruction. They don't want anyone telling them the way it's going to be. There's sometimes people get that away. So you have to understand who the Lord is, and there has to be some healthy respect for God. Now, if we can do that, we can begin to impart that respect in the heart of our children. Come over to chapter 22, if you would, please. Proverbs 22. Let's see one of the first things that we can find. Look at verse 15. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. What do you learn about children from that verse? Now, I know what Jesus called a child, and they're the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But there's another thing you have to understand about children. They have foolishness in their heart. That's why children get in trouble a lot of times. Children don't know, they don't know that the stove's hot. They don't know dangers that are pressing around them. They're oblivious to it. So foolishness a lot of times is bound up in the heart of a child. You know what our role is? Make sure that they're not foolish. So, guess what? He says the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. The rod of discipline. Let me put it another way so people don't misunderstand. We're talking about spanking your kids. Now, I know that's not taboo. You know, that's not a good thing to say in our day in society. I hear what everybody says about it. Oh, I've seen so many abuses. I have too. And we're talking to Christians. We're not talking about society. We're not talking about the ungodly that don't respect God. We're not talking about those that are out of control and that have no holiness about them. We're talking to those in Christ Jesus, and those in Christ Jesus understand the purpose of the rod. The rod is to drive foolishness from the heart of your children. Use it. Because foolishness is in their heart. They need some calling of sound mind and some self-control. We'll see this as we go on. Come back over to chapter 23. And we need to understand the rod of discipline and its purpose. Let me give you a quick illustration before we read here in 23. A child is running. You hear parents a lot of times, they start yelling at the kid, "Come here! Come here!" Child keeps running. "I said for you to come here!" And they're yelling top of their voice. Yelling's not discipline. That child is running away for a reason. Either that child has no respect for your word, or you've taught that child this is all fun and games, one, two. That child needs to understand when you speak, you mean your word. When God speaks, he means his. He didn't expect you to ignore it, or he's going to bring about pain. Foolishness is in the heart of a child. You learn to tell that child no. You learn to tell that child, this is where I want you to be. You make sure they understand that. And foolishness is not going to be tolerated. Don't you take off. In Proverbs chapter 23, look at verse 13. He says, "Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with a rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with a rod and rescue his soul from Sheol." Now, I want you to notice in those two verses, he talks about the discipline, he talks about using the rod, and he tells what its purpose, to rescue their soul. You have to have the purpose and understand the purpose of discipline. It's to save my children. I'm trying to get them to understand and to listen. It's to save, to rescue the children, their souls. And so what does he say? Don't you hold back discipline from that child. He says, although you strike him with a rod, some versions may use the word beat. Now, I'm going to back up one more step. We're not talking about beating a kid like the world says beating a kid. We're talking about using the rod to get their attention. On the side. This is free. Parents, when you discipline your children, don't discipline them when you're angry. Don't do it then. Because when you get angry, you don't, you know, James 1 talks about the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. You forget the purpose. Discipline them, but get over the anger business. If you have to send them to their room for the next 3 or 4 minutes till you get control, till you understand what your purpose is, do that. Another side note, don't you sit there, don't you discipline them in front of everybody when you're out in public. That's not a wise move either. You need to understand the time and a place. That child needs to understand that you're trying to rescue their soul. You're trying to help them have a sound mind, have some self-control, and you're out at that store, and they're acting unruly. You give them your word. When we get home, we are going to take care of this. And when you get home, you take care of it. You know what they learn? They learn to respect you because you're going to be a person of your word. And number two, they'll learn to love you because you care. So he says, don't withhold discipline back from the child. Don't you do it. They need it because foolishness is in the heart. Come back to Proverbs 15. Show you another one. See, sometimes we need to, the teaching as parents, because parents need to be wiser in making their choices. Proverbs chapter 15. Look at verse 10. Grievous punishment is for him who forsakes the way. He who hates reproof will die. Grievous, stern punishment. Grievous punishment is for those who forsake the way. I mean, sometimes it looks like a child is never going to learn. Sometimes you stay on them and you discipline them and you discipline them and they're right back doing the same thing. They need grievous. It's grievous punishment because they're always wanting to go astray. But you know what? Don't let them win. Sometimes children are controlling the home and the parents aren't. You're the father. You're the mother. Put those children on the way that the Lord wants them to walk. Give them some soundness of mind. Give them some self-control. And use discipline to do it. Use the rod to do it. Grievous punishment is for those who forsake the way. You got to stay on top of them. Now, you know what? He says at the end there, he who hates reproof will die. They don't ever want to heed. It's going to cost them. But I'll tell you what, don't you stop. You're trying to save and rescue their souls. Don't let a strong-willed child win. I got a lot of stories that I could share with you. But because my children are here, I'll spare them. I won't do that to embarrass them at all. But I'm telling you, don't let them win. You're the father. You are the provider, the protector. You're the upholder as a father. You don't let a strong-willed child live or win. And as a mother, don't you let them have their way. Stay with it. Sternness, because you understand what's at stake. You're trying to keep them saved. Teach them righteousness. And you're trying to get some of the attitudes and the foolishness out of them. Come over to chapter 13, if you would. Look at verse 24. Chapter 13, verse 24. He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. What does God say about those who withhold the rod? You don't love your children. Oh, you don't understand. I love my child too much to whip them. I've heard that many a time. Well, you've got a misconception of what love is. Because he says here, if you don't discipline, he said, you hate your son. You hate your child. Oh, I don't hate my child. No, you don't understand the emotional versus what is needed, stern discipline. You're getting them mixed up. You need to use the rod on your child, because those, he said, that you love, you discipline him diligently. You stay after it. You stay on top of it. You know, you learn to make sure that they're headed down the right path and they have a boundary in which to walk. One of the worst things we do to our children is that we don't give them the sternness. We don't give them the diligence and discipline. We're just too wishy-washy. One day, we got the straight and narrow. The next day, we let them go here. You know, you look at parents a lot of times that they're in there with the child in the store, and you've seen it happen, and maybe it's been some years. I don't know. But you've been in the store, and the child wants something, and they're told no, and they're throwing this fit in front of everybody for all the world to see. Well, tell you what, that's no respect for other people. And it's going to take some stern punishment. And so the parent, as the child's throwing their fit, what does the parent do? They buy them off. If you'll be nice, here, I'll get you some candy. We'll go get an ice cream. If you'll be nice, here's a way to buy them off. Whoa, wait just a second. He who loves disciplines them diligently. It is improper to act that way in public. My God doesn't stand for it, and I don't stand for it. And you will heed my word, or you're going to pay a price. That's the way it is. Now, some people say that's pretty harsh, that's pretty stern. You have to understand the purpose of it all. We're trying to save our children. We're trying to help them to be trained in righteousness and the holiness of God. That's why you do all of this. Set a boundary, set limits. You can't get outside of that. What discipline's for. Come over to chapter 19. Look at verse 18. 19:18. He says, discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death. While there is hope. You young parents, those first 6 years of your child's life are the most formidable and most important years of their life. And you need to get on top of them. He says that you do it while there is hope. When a child gets to be 10, 12, 15 years of age, it gets to a point that they're not going to listen to anything, and it seems that you can't do anything with them. The reason we've gotten here is because we didn't start it back here. Now, what does it say? Well, yeah, but what does it do for us that have children that are older now? I mean, what do we do for them? How are we going to do for them? Well, you get a hold of it now and you do the best you can with what you got. And that means you don't just let them run free. You give them guidelines. You need to be repentant, number one, for letting them go all over the place. And number two, then I'm going to come back up under the discipline of the Lord. Lord may be using that child to discipline you to get you back on the right way in your right thinking and have some control in your life. Discipline while there's hope, and don't desire his death. I don't want my children to lose their souls, do you? Well, you just let them do their thing and they'll lose their soul. Not only will they disrespect you, not only will they disrespect other people, but they'll lose their soul in the end. Discipline while there's hope. Come over to chapter 29. Look at verse 15. Chapter 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. There it is. A child does not determine what's right and wrong. You let a child get their way, and that child will shame you, guaranteed. That's from God. So you know what? You don't buy off a kid. You don't make pacts with a kid. You don't be friends with a kid. You discipline that child. You teach them the way of righteousness. You bring them to sound mind and to self-control. And when they flop down on that floor and they're throwing that temper tantrum, You can act better than that.
Oh, they're just being a kid. That's a two-year-old.
No, that's a child out of control. That's a child with foolishness in their heart. That child needs to be brought back to their senses and said, no, that is not proper. You imagine you and I doing that in praise to God? When God says, I don't want this out of you, and we flop down on the floor, we start telling God, this isn't fair.
You know, it'll look kind of funny being adults at that, wouldn't it?
But the same principle. And God's not going to tolerate it.
Same thing here.
Same thing. And I know when you speak on things like this, I know people don't like to hear it sometimes. And I know if you're strong against spanking, I know it's really probably creates a problem, and you may have a problem with me. But I can't apologize because the Word of God's for it. And the Word of God means it. And if it doesn't, might as well just tear these pages out because they don't mean anything. God's a disciplinarian. He does things to get our attention, and we need to do the things to get our children's attention. I want to close with six verses, and we'll end here. Come over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. The children of Israel has lost generations. They are going in, they are now being granted to go into the place God had promised to give them. 40 years have passed, and tens of thousands of God's people have had to perish in the wilderness because they wouldn't listen to the voice of God. Now they're standing on the verge with a new generation, and they're about to head in there, and God's going to explain, let me tell you why everything happened in your life the way it did. Look at verse 1. All the commandments that I'm commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. I'll let you go hungry. I'll let you suffer. You know why? He was to discipline you, to find out, will you walk in my pathway? Will you keep things straight? God brings pain in the lives to try to keep people on the straight and narrow. And so he's telling these next generation of people, you know what? I need you to fear God. I need you to keep his commandments. And I need you to walk in his ways. And discipline is what brought that about. I hope I encourage us. Do right. Get a hold of your children. Teach them and train them. And let's be the kind of people God wants. You'll have a pleasant home as a result. Trust me. Sometimes it might be tedious. Sometimes it might be grievous. But it's all going to pay big dividends in the end. May God bless us. May God watch over our homes. May we grow ever closer. If we could help you this morning, would you come while we stand and sing?